That started. I'm going to start the video on the Sabbath. Let's see. I always have to lower this. It's just the way it is. There you go. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Shrink that. Shrink that. Bring up the study right there. And we're ready to blow the trumpet on the Shabbat. Very good. Well, here we are. We're getting to be really one in Messiah. But anyway, I'll guess they'll pop in sooner or later. Anyway, it's very nice to be here. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chal B'Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, Adat Yisrael. And it's very nice to have everyone here today. And anybody new online there, Carrie? I can't see. How's Zach and Jacqueline doing? Hope they're doing fine. We're on Maple Street, 27 South Maple Street, that is. Hole and Vault, High Forest, Tennessee, 38462. There's two phone numbers and a website for you to contact me. Haven't received any phone calls this week. That's odd. But I did get to talk to a lot of people about God and the Sabbath and everything. So what can I do? We'll pray and ask God to bless and anoint this day. Heavenly Father, King of the universe, wash us in your blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, Lord and God. Master, bless and anoint this Shabbat. I pray, Lord and God, you'll put a wall of fire around and about us, caution us from any evil. Be with us today in a special way. I pray you'll send out healing upon every brother and sister that needs healing. You know the ones that need healing in their bodies, in their minds, in their souls, Lord and God. I pray you'll help us all. Lead God and direct us in everything we do, say, and act. I pray, Lord and God, that you'll move in our lives. Show us how to get more people here, Father. We talk to people every week. What can we do more, Father? Show us. Put it upon our hearts what to do. Bless and anoint this Shabbat. Bless everything that's done today. Let it be to the edifying of the body, to the glory of the living God. And we always give you the praise and thanks in the mighty name of Yeshua, Father. And we just always thank you for everything you've done for us and everything that you do, even the things we're not even aware of, how you keep us alive and you sustain us. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint everyone here, and this day, in Yeshua's name, give us the shalom of God. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Well, you know, I always pray that prayer for God to take away people that are not of us during the feast. It always seems like people will vanish. You ever notice all the people that are gone now? I'm not going to name their names, but a lot of people are no longer with us. My ministry is a teaching ministry, which that's what I guess I've been called to do. I like to bring up topics and subjects and events maybe you're not familiar with. I'd like to undelete them for you. There's all my websites. My server is running very nicely back there with that new battery we got, thank God. So now you can still read them, you could listen to them, you could watch them, you could download them. I believe I'm streaming right now on the internet over the little camera here. We're in a chat room called Pow Talk, and there we are in the Christian section. And if you ever want me to come personally to your congregation or group, I'm always willing. So there's a link there if you're out of state. Or if you're in state, let me know. I'll just come. So just give me a call. Today is November 12th, and Tennessee has been a strange Tennessee this November. We were having like spring, and it's like I feel like I'm in a different state because usually we have lots of rain and, you know, a lot of things going on at this point, but it's just beautiful out there. So I'm just going along whatever God gives us. I can't say anything. I do pray for rain. It's November 12, 2016, and we'll move on there. Yehovah has his own calendar in the eighth month of God called Bul, pronounced Bul. And it's the 11th day, and we hope soon rain, because that's what Bul means, we pray. And there it is right there. And it's the eighth month of God, and it's part of November and December. And this is the warmest November I remember in a long time. You know, people are saying it's El Nino, but what does that mean in English? I know, I don't know what that means. Ani mirbe los paratit. I don't speak Spanish. Anyway. Today's study is be an example of a believer in Messiah. That's so important. You know, my last few studies were about, you know, I'm sure you remember them. They're on my website. And I keep thinking about being an example of a believer in Messiah. Are you an example of peace, good? Are you an example of good in this world, charity, and the Messiah? That's really important. And everything you say, think, and act. You know, I was looking at some of the current news headlines in November 2016, and this is what's going on in the world, in case you're not familiar. We have the assassination threats against Trump flood Twitter. We have anti-Trump riots brawl with each other. A database in New York City, illegals deleted. California and Trump on collision course with illegals. A man with Pakistani passport duffel bag trespassing at Chicago water plant, which is bad. Well, Chicago, if you ever read all the news about Chicago, you don't want to go there. Fears of the undocumented. A high school girl viciously attacked for supporting Trump. More violent riots. LAPD officer assaulted with handcuffs. Anarchy. Poland has gone. Don't go to Oregon. Portland, Oregon. I meant Portland. Oregon has gone bananas. I mean, they're really having riots and crazy things going on. And the Oregonians submit ballot proposal to secede from the union. And Silicon Valley wants to secede too. And I say, good, I wish they would all leave. You know, riot police fill streets in Egypt, bracing for austere protests. Greek nihilist group urges attacks, sabotage an Obama visit. A wave of vigilante killings in Mexico, shootings at anti-Trump protest, and the media still freaking out. The media. So, and that's just, those are the headlines in some of the news formats on the net. And I was thinking, where are all the people of God making a stand? You know, where is anyone out there? So all I can say is don't participate in these evil actions above, because the Bible simply states in Exodus, thou shalt not raise a false report, nor put thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline from any to pervert judgment. You know? So these verses, this is exactly everything that's going on today, because no one reads Scripture. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. We don't do that. All these people want free handouts from the government, you know? And I think they should get up and go to work. So anyway, you know, we have this word example and ensample. And I was looking in the dictionary, the word ensample, they think it's archaic, you know, they think it's the old word for example. And what it means is one of a number of things, or a part of a something, taken to show the character of the whole. This painting is an example of this early work. That's an example. A pattern or model of something to be imitated or avoided. In other words, to set a good example. An instance serving for illustration, specimen. The case histories gave carefully detailed examples of these of this disease. These are examples of what the definition is. An instance illustrating a rule or method as a mathematical problem proposed for a solution. That's an example, of course. An instance, especially of punishment, serving as a warning to others, right? We know that. Public executions were meant to be examples to the populace. A precedent, which is a parallel cause, an action without example. So anyway, This word example is in the Bible many places. You should know these verses. If you don't, you should look them up if you need to. So the choices, decisions we make, and that's what it's all about. Some people get mad at other people for some reason because at this point in time, when they see other people prosperous and doing well, just because they didn't manage or maintain their lives and all the decisions they made in the past in their lives, for some reason they get mad at the people that did. And that's really amazing. So our lives are full of choices. We choose to what school to attend, what job, business, or career to have, what bank, food, mart, gas station, where to travel to, what religion to be part of, what to eat, who to marry, who to associate with, people you choose to be with. You choose your medical choices, what house, apartment, city, or state to reside in, what vehicle, what clothing to wear. I mean, there's so many choices and hobbies to have, what recreational activities to participate in, what to write on emails or social media. That's your choice. Some people just think to write anything. And all the rest that I didn't list. There's so many things that even people are doing today that there's going to be repercussions what they're doing on social media. The scriptures are full of choices people have made from the time of Adam and Eve, Noah, Samuel, Kings, Judges, the prophets, and all the writings. We see some of the consequences that we are left with today, I mean, just think of Adam and Eve, because of them, now we have to fight sin and we have all these, everything that's going on. The scriptures have many examples of what to do and what not to do, right? Again, choices we must decide. Here's a couple of verses in the Bible. Matthew 1:19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and he must have been a thinking kind of person, he was not willing to make her a public example. His wife was minded to put her away privily. In other words, she was found with a child, and he was thinking, wow, it's probably not of mine. So he wanted to put her away. So he did that. That was good. In John 13:15, for I, Yeshua, have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So Yeshua gave us many examples, of how to live and what to be and what to say and do. Paul tells the Corinthians, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things that they also lusted. And there's a whole list of things that he writes down. You can look this up yourself. But this is the example of bad things, that you're not supposed to follow. Paul tells Timothy, let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believers. And that's what we're supposed to be to each other and correct each other when someone starts stepping out of line or, doing something that's not godly. You're supposed to say, hold on, let's not do that or say that or let's be godly. In word, see it says in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So that's really important. Paul tells the Hebrews, let us labor therefore to enter into his rest, lest any man should fall after the example of unbelief. And there's definitely a lot of, the world is flooded with examples of unbelief. That's true. That's everywhere. James says, take heed, brethren and sisters, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering afflictions and of patience. So, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial that might come to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Peter says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should also follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So don't think it's strange. Jude tells us, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, could you remember the cities, Zeboim and who? What other one? Anyone can remember?
Adma
and Zeboim. Okay. Those must be the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example. And we actually saw that in Israel many years ago when we went there. It's there for an example, if you don't believe it. But these people are actually suffering the vengeance of eternal fire right now. Right this minute, as we're sitting here, you know, I know we don't think about it, but there's so many souls that right now are set forth for an example. And they're suffering vengeance of eternal fire. Suffering. 1 Corinthians says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So we should take note of these things and not think they're, you know, that just happened, you know, a long time ago and don't worry about it. No, we should, those were written for our example. You know, all these people, for one reason or another, right now are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, you know. That's a horrible thought to think of that while we're standing and alive at this century, this people right now in this place called hell, this holding place until death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, which is hard to really think about. It's hard to imagine that or, you know, fathom that because, you know, because right now, you know, it feels nice out, the sun's out, but there's people right now, the people before the flood, they're still there. The people in Sodom and Gomorrah, that were fornicators and went after strange flesh. They're all there. And there's a lot of people that have died since then are there right now. A lot of people thought they were going to heaven. They're there right now. Paul tells Philemon or Philippians, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them who walk so as you have us for an example. So, oh, it's always good to follow the good people of God and be, you know, I hope we set a good example for people. You know, we try to. Paul tells the Thessalonians, so that ye were that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So these people, their testimony stands out even today. The Thessalonians were good examples to these people, and that's the way we're supposed to be. So even when you read that little sentence, you might think it's no big deal, but that's a lot, saying a lot. The way they lived, the way they talked, the way they acted, they were examples to all the people in Macedonia and Achaia. I mean, so the gospel, the truth of the gospel can go on. You know, it's sometimes we read a sentence and think it's nothing. But if you really stop and think about what it's saying, their lifestyle matched the Messiah, you know? Paul tells the Thessalonians, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. And that's what Paul does. We don't exalt ourselves above measure, or we don't lord over you. We're trying to be examples to the flock, you know. There it is right there. Peter says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. That's what we try to be. Some people take us, they take a correction or reproof the wrong way, because even in correction or reproof, again, we have nothing to gain. Nothing to, it doesn't help us. I mean, it doesn't lift us up. There's nothing to make us, you know, it's just to help people out. It's not to, so if we tell somebody something and they don't like it, we're not telling you that because we just want to be, you know, say something to upset you. We're telling something to help you, maybe to your knowledge, bring something to your knowledge that you maybe you shouldn't do such and such. Peter says, there it is again, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. And we were there. Notice it's in Jude and it's in Peter. Making them, it says, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So that's really there. And that's really a testimony to those people that were full of fornication, going after strange flesh and whatever else they did. God rained down fire and brimstone upon them. It's really, they're ash today. So all choices and decisions we make have consequences, some good and some bad. The choices we made in the past led us to where we are today, whether you like it or not, or know it or not. So some people are upset, like, you know, at this point in time in their life, oh, how did this happen to me? Well, it happened because of the choices you made. It's no one else's fault. You were at that point in time where you decided something one way or another, and it brought you to this point in time. Our lives are on like this this horizontal path of all these decisions you made. We can say at this time, if we only had the wisdom of an older person when we were younger to decide, choose. I've said that when I was younger. I wish I knew. That's why I like talking to older people, and I listen to them, and I observe them, and even people older than myself. You know, your parents were supposed to help you with decisions and choices you made, right? I guess schools were supposed to do that, you know. Sad to say, most families are without the God of Israel and His words. That's almost everyone. The family unit is just about gone. No longer two parents. That's over. I mean, think about it. There's hardly anyone. In these days, one parent, mostly the mother, is left who works. The children are left to daycare. Most fathers are gone. In these days, two females or two males raise kids. Yeah, unfortunately, I heard recently somebody I knew is trying to, these two men want to get a child, which is really sick. I feel sorry for the child. Most children are left to daycare centers all day, no discipline. Kids are left to decide, make choices on their own. Because the people that work there just hire, you know, they just work there. They only care to a point. They care to a point, and after that, you know. I hear in the news kids are threatening the teachers and schools, which are a big problem. Of course, everyone knows drugs never ended. Alcohol, peer pressure, bullies, vulgar language, sexual activities, joining riots, writing terrible things on social media, and everything else that's going on. It's just like, seems like it's amplified even now. These activities are always there to help kids make the wrong choices. And that peer pressure really does it, you know, because you want to be part of the crowd, which is really bad. When you're not supposed to follow a multitude to do evil. Some websites, television shows, magazines don't help people in their choices of how to dress, talk, carry themselves, or behave. Yeah. There's lots of TV shows that some of the stuff is, they have to always throw in the little sexual thing when you're watching a show and you're into it, and then all of a sudden some stupid thing has to pop in there out of nowhere because they think they have to get ratings. I wonder what guidance counselors are doing in schools. You know, I do wonder that. Sometimes you may be talked into a choice. Some people are pressured into a choice, you know, pressured or left with no other, they think there's no other option. What they need to do is ask godly counsel, you know, or find some real counsel. However, you made the choice. There are still ramifications, consequences, which we will have to deal with. Some people don't like the consequences that come. Or they, you know, we try to, even recently, try to help people out of situations they were in, and they took counsel, and things worked out better, and they still ended up hating us. Try to figure that out. I don't understand that. Godly counsel may help you in your decisions, your choices. Look up counsel in the scriptures. There are many verses to help you decide, choose. Here are a few. Exodus says, hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with you. Be thou for the people to Godward, and thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And this is, you know, this is godly counsel. Very good. Judges says, this is in the book of Judges, they say unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. That's something we should always do. I always try to say, well, God, do you want us to do this? Do you want us to do that? Should we do that? You know, if it isn't of you, stop it. You know, stop it somehow. Proverbs says, with no counselors, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, we know there's safety, but some people just forsake it. Think of all the people that have forsaken godly counsel and went off on their own. And now their lives are just a nightmare. That doesn't make us happy. You know, it makes us sad. The way of a fool is right in their own eyes, But he that hearkens unto counsel is wise, he or she. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, of course. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. That's important. Some people like to hear the young counselors instead of the old ones that's been around the block, spiritually and physically. You know, it's always good to listen to people that have, I call them the have-done-its, not the has-beens. I call them the have-done-its. They have done it. Some people go, well, that guy only had one hit. Well, he has done it. You have nothing.
Yeah, right.
Right. There, so in any genre, these people have done it. You could get some advice from them. They have done something. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, that's when you make war, not with silly advice or bad counsel. And that could be war as far as real war or war, you know, in who knows, whatever contractual disagreements you might have or whatever. Seems like war, doesn't it? For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counsels their safety. That's a good one. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, doesn't it? So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. You know? I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment. I do too. It's foolish to try to come against someone that's over you. And that in regard of the oath of God, yeah, that's silly to try to come against God or any of God's counsel. There are many verses where Jehovah chooses. Here are a few. Even God chooses it. But God knows his own purposes, and he vouches for himself. He says, I lift up my own hand to heaven and say, I live forever. He doesn't need anyone to vouch for him or to... He said, and he spake unto Korah and unto all the company, saying, even to tomorrow Jehovah will show who are his and who is holy and for which cause, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he had chosen, he will cause to come near unto him. So, yes, God will choose between the good and the evil. For thou art a holy people unto Jehovah thy God. Jehovah thy God had chosen you to be a special people. That's important to remember. Where God chose us to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. That's a very good verse. Some people think that God just loves everybody. That verse right there makes it very simple. Simply said, he doesn't. Because if he chose you above all the people of the earth, something must be wrong with the other people, right? If the place where Jehovah thy God had chosen to put his name there be too far from thee, then thou shalt kill thy herd and of thy flock, kill of thy herd and of thy flock, which Jehovah had given thee, as I have commanded thee, and thou shalt eat in thy gates whatsoever thy soul lusted after. Of course, you have to read the verses before and after this. I'm just showing you that there's choices for everything. That's my study today. You could look these verses up and read all the rest of it. There it is again. For thou art a holy people unto Jehovah thy God. Jehovah had chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. A little bit different there. So God chooses us. So how should we perform in our lives? You know, what example should we be? I mean, we should be testimonies of righteousness. And thou shalt rejoice before Jehovah thy God, you, your son, your daughter, your menservant, your maidservant, the Levite that's within your gates, the stranger and the fatherless, the widow, and that are among you in the place which Jehovah thy God shall choose to place his name there. And right at the moment, God has placed his name where the spirit of the Father is, you know, because now we worship the Father in spirit of truth, spirit and truth, and where we are, I believe he is too. Because he is with us, and he's in us, and we're in him, and we are one. For Jehovah thy God had chosen him out of all the tribes to stand to minister in the name of Jehovah, him and his sons forever. That's the Levites. And I don't know, all these other guys that running around as priests with all their little decorations on, they're not Levites, and they're not of Aaron. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. For them, Jehovah thy God had chosen to minister unto him, and to bless in the name of Jehovah. And by their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. And that's the way it works. We have the Levites and the judges that God puts in his in every time where things can be decided and discerned. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. God did choose Jerusalem. Amen. That's why when they try to give away Jerusalem, it makes me really upset. And unto his son will I give one tribe. David, my servant, shall have a light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen to put my name there. That's the place God really loved. And now they have polluted it to the extreme. It's really horrible. Think about that. It's horrible. David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath Jehovah chosen to carry the ark of God to minister unto him forever. So all these people that are looking for the Ark of the Covenant, that's ridiculous, because they're not Levites, and they better, if they ever find anything, they better not touch it, which they never will. And all the sons, it says, and as for all my sons, for Jehovah had given me many sons, he had chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of Jehovah over Israel. So David had lots of sons, but Solomon was chosen, right? I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there. And I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Even God chooses the fast that you should do. So make sure you fast once in a while. But these people didn't choose the right fast there. So God has a purpose for every choice he makes. The more I look in the scriptures, I see everything is selected and chosen. Chosen chariots, chosen captain, chosen men, chosen people. His chosen apostles. He didn't just pick anyone. He chose Zion, chose Jacob, and so much more. You know, God has explicit situations and people that he chooses and things that he wants to accomplish. Nothing is by haphazardly done or without thought or concern. And there's the word bachar in Hebrew. It means to appoint, to choose, applicable, to select, choices. Just think, right from the beginning, Chava, known as Eve, she saw that the tree was good for food, very bad, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired, and one to make one wise. She wanted to be wise. So she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And she gave also unto her husband, who actually chose also to eat, and they did eat together. And we are the recipients of the whole thing there. So there they are, the ones who started the whole thing. It's amazing to think of. That's how it all started. But I'm sure God had a plan for everything, because there was war in heaven, and that has to be abolished and wiped out. There'll be a new heavens one day. Deuteronomy says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. Huh. Blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live. That sounds like wise advice. That thou mayest love Jehovah thy God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for he is your life, and he is the length of your days. That you may live and dwell in the land which Jehovah thy swear unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them. If it seem evil unto you to serve Jehovah, choose you this day whom you serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell, and all the gods that are running around today. But as for us and our house, we're going to serve Yehovah, that we choose him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen Jehovah to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. And ye shall cry out in that day because your king, which you have chosen, and Jehovah will not hear you in that day. And that's what's going on right now. Unfortunately, all these elections, really not of the God of Israel, you know, because that ended so long ago. Even at the time of Yeshua, that ended. You can find that, I believe, in Deuteronomy. God said, only people that are of your brethren are supposed to be over you. But now anyone reigns over you, and we're in a strange land anywhere. We're all scattered, you know. Now therefore, behold the king which you have chosen, and whom you have desired, and behold, Jehovah has set a king over you. So you want it? Take it. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Not just anybody, but make sure you pick the right people. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So there's a choice in everything that you read. And there's a choice in everything that we do. David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto Jehovah, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, Jehovah, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And when David was up in the morning, the word of Jehovah came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith Jehovah, I offer thee three things. Choose one of them that I may do unto you. Because there's repercussions for what you have done. And there's no respect of persons. Ooh, that gives you the chill. Gives me the chills, right? There's no respect of persons. David. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come upon thee in thy land? Do you choose that? Or will you choose to flee 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you? Or will you choose to be there 3 days pestilence in the land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of Jehovah, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hands of man. You could say that again. Whew, that was a good thing to say. So Jehovah sent pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people just because of that. From Dan even to Beersheba, 70,000 men. 70,000 men. Could you imagine even seeing 70,000 people die? Just because he numbered Israel. Just think, and that lived with you the rest of your life because of you. 70,000 people had to die. That's on you. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt you between two opinions? Choose. If Jehovah be God, follow him. But if Baal be the devil, follow him. That's putting it simple. So you're either following God or this world that's gone haywire. What man is he that fears Jehovah? Let him teach. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Amen. Amen. I have chosen the way of truth. Amen. We have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Amen. And that's what we have done here. And you can see by the crowd we have here, how many people have chosen being orthodox in what you believe and being firm and not making, being slack or causing alibis to arise or, you know, letting people slide or wink with the eye or give them a break or that, all this nonsense, when they could just meet the Lord any time and you'll be accountable. But we have chosen the way of truth. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. Amen. How much better is it to get wisdom and then gold? That's for sure. And to get understanding, rather to be chosen than silver. I rather have wisdom and understanding more than gold. Gold and silver is not going to save me. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. So your testimony is really important. And loving favor rather than silver and gold. And Proverbs, you know, Solomon was wise here. He said, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Then your choice, because you, I have called, and your choice, you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no one regarded. But you have said it not all my counsel. That's your choice. And you, your choice was to none of my reproof. Well, he says, I will laugh at your calamity. And your calamity is going to come one day, soon enough. I will mock when your fear comes, when it comes upon you. Oh, boy, that's a horrible thought. When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when your distress and anguish come upon you, I know you're going to call upon me, but I'm not going to answer, God says. You're going to seek me earlier. You're going to be like just crying out, but I will not, you're not going to find me. You know why? Because you chose to hate knowledge and you didn't choose the fear of the of Yehovah. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Wow. So God says, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. And they're going to be filled with their own devices. The turning away of the simple is going to slay them. And the prosperity of fools is going to destroy them. But whoso hearkens unto me, God says, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Amen. We don't worry about all these things going on in the world. I already know life is going to go on. Things are going to go on. It's not the end of the world, anyone. Okay? For thou shalt not, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of their ways. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, it's about the Messiah. Therefore, Jehovah himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Butter and honey shall he eat, and he shall know to refuse the evil. And he shall choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, other things are going to, you have to read the rest of the verse, but he's going to know how to, the word of the Lord is always going to pick the right thing. For thus saith Jehovah unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me. We got to choose the things that please God and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons and daughters. And I will give them an everlasting name that they shall not be cut off. And the sons of the stranger that join themselves to Jehovah to serve him and to love the name of Jehovah, to be his servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people, if they will just choose the right thing, you know. So spiritually, we send up spiritual sacrifices to God, you know. Praise the Lord. But most of the world, they are those that forsake Jehovah. They chose to forsake him, that forsake the holy mountain. They've prepared a table for that troop that furnished the drink offerings unto the number. Therefore I number you to the sword, God says. And ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you chose not to answer. When I spoke, you didn't hear. You chose not to hear. But you did evil before my eyes, and you chose that wherein I delighted not. Wow. So it's pretty easy to delight in what God likes. He likes good things done right. He likes equal things, righteous things, you know, equal balance, no respect of persons. He that kills an ox as if he slew a man, he that sacrificed a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck, he that offered an oblation as if he offered a swine's blood, he that burned incense as if he blessed an idol. He says, you have chosen your own ways. Their soul delights in their abominations. And then because of that, God says, guess what? I will choose your delusions. Yeah, God can make you turn into anything he wants. Just like, or even faster than that. I can't even, I mean, I will bring my fears upon you. Because when I called, you didn't answer. When I spoke, you didn't hear. But you did evil before mine eyes, and you chose that in which I delighted not. So there's things you can actually choose that that God delights in, and you'll be blessed. And there's things you can choose that he doesn't delight in, and things will happen to you, and you'll go, what happened to me? No? So death shall be chosen rather than life. This is for those people. And all the residue of them that remain of the evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith Jehovah Tzavaoth. Now, even though this is a time of Jeremiah and the time of Jerusalem, I feel like it's even today. Those that are wicked are going to be wicked still. Those that are evil are going to be evil still, you know. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord Jehovah, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? You notice he's not talking to the world. He's talking to the house of Israel, the people of God. So Yeshua chooses. He says, well, one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So that's good to go read about her in Luke chapter 10. Yeshua answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Just think, he had to actually know he was choosing a devil that was going to betray him. I'm sure he knew that, because everything has to be fulfilled. I chose you 12, and one of you is a devil. Yeshua says, I speak not of you all. So I'm not talking to all of you. I know whom I have chosen. That's really, there's a separation right there of people. But that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth with me hath lifted up his heel against me. That's in Psalms. And then Yeshua says, you didn't choose me. You didn't accept me or choose me. But I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. I always ask the Father in Yeshua's name to show us where the souls are. We'll go get them or bring them here, help us, you know. If you were of the world would love you. Plain English. But because you're not of the world, but God, Yeshua said, I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That's why we're not packed out. They hate us. But they hate us without a cause, just like Yeshua. Even people recently that left us, they hate us without a cause. They just make up tales and lies. Wow. So in closing, my advice is before you choose, decide, or select, or act upon, definitely before you act on something, consult with godly people, and possibly your result might be a little brighter. You know? Remember, the choices we make today will decide your tomorrow. All choices, whether good or evil, or by, you can't be non-committal, this attitude of being non-committal, you know, like you don't want to be a partaker, they still have repercussions. You know, even in the voting thing, some people voted for this one or that one. Some people didn't vote at all. But it's still, they still got, they're going to get the repercussions. Soon you'll have a new president here in America, if you like it or not. That's just the way it is here. So be an ambassador of peace. Shabbat shalom. Be safe out there. And may God bless you and protect you in Yeshua's name. Always watch who's round and about you. Always watch where you park. Always make sure you know who's down the road or down the block, or keep an eyeball, because we're in a terrible time. Anyway, God bless you, and may God always be with you and protect you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat shalom. And I'll stop that. I'll stop that. And I hope you got something out of the study today. It's very important. Shabbat shalom, everyone. I will stop the audio first. Shabbat shalom.